animals.
Okay. Good evening, folks, and welcome to the June episode of Mythbehaving with your favorite Mythbehaviors, Rob, Roy, and Kari. Just want to let you know, we are taking July and August off, so suck it up now, enjoy us now, because we're not going to be back till September.
But That's right. We recommend that you listen to our old shows, pass them around to friends so that you can talk about them, and then we'll get back to you in September.
Talk about them. They're just going to talk about you, and they're probably just going to say bad things. No, I'm just kidding. Rob, I'm kidding. I've talked to you for 2 months, so I have an hour to do it now.
Fine. I will allow it.
And we will share some old shows over. Like, it's going to be like reruns. It'll be reruns. Yeah.
We should do a clip show. Can we get a clip show? Like some of our best hits?
I mean, we probably could.
Remember that time?
We probably could. We probably should. But yeah, we do have a doozy for our season ender show. Who do we have with us tonight, Rob?
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. So today we have Rob Sachetto. Sachetto, it's got to come right off the tongue like that. Rob Sachetto is a zombie horror artist. In 2006, get this, he invented an online service in which he hand paints people as the living dead. That's called amazing. Zombie Portraits. So far, he's zombified over 10,000 people all over the world. But feeling that wasn't drawing enough zombies, Rob started Zombie Daily, a blog where he posts a new original zombie drawing or painting every day. The site was started in 2008, and so far there are over 4,000 posts and counting. The formation of Zombie Daily led the publishing company, Ulysses Press, to offer him a two-book deal, one for the Zombie Handbook, How to Identify the Living Dead and Survive the Coming Zombie Apocalypse, which has since been translated to Spanish, and his next book, Zombiewood, The Celebrity Dead Exposed. Zombie Portrait Service also caught the attention of noted zombie author Jonathan Mayberry, who asked Rob to create character chase card illustrations for that book, his four follow-up zombie novels, and alternate covers for the IDW comic miniseries based on the first novel. And, because I'm not done yet, Rob was featured in the documentary Zombie Mania and provided the morphing zombie portrait drawings for himself and other noted zombie experts who were interviewed, including, yep, George Romero, Tom Savini, Max Brooks, and Greg Nicotero. So if you have not had enough of Rob Sachetto by the end of this, you can go out to www.zombieportraits.com, check out his stuff, get your own zombie portrait. It's so great. Rob, it is so good to have you here.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a real pleasure, man, an honor.
I got to tell you, Rob, you know, we were talking before. I got to tell you, though, you have a great voice. I think I'm jealous.
You do. You have a great voice and you have a great last name, Sachetto. It sounds like a sandwich.
Oh, I was thinking like a cheese, like, put a slice Sachetto. Of Sachetto on there. Yeah.
The Sachetto sub, man.
Like a sandwich filled with like meat and cheese and maybe some.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It's like, you know, a little bit of pickle.
You've seen a lot of pictures of me, I gather. So
I haven't seen any.
That's where the meat and cheese comes from, man. That's great.
Now I have to look it up. You know what? I feel like I saw something the other day, and I don't want to put a damper on your guys' whole zombie apocalypse adventure that you're so looking forward to the next time a virus hits or whatever. But I did see a meme the other day that solved the zombie apocalypse in one shot. They should pass a law to make the absolute condition of a coroner, or I guess it's like the funeral embalmer dude, whoever, they have to tie the people's shoelaces together.
I agree, man. That's a great idea.
Funeral home. So that's the last thing they do. They should, and that's it. That's a whole problem solved. Solved the future.
That's amazing.
Do I get some like money for that? Actually, no, it wasn't. I saw it on the internet. Somebody else gets that credit.
Why would you not claim that, Kari? You could be rich. Yeah.
I feel like people already know.
That you should be rich?
No. Oh, well, definitely that. I mean, people already know about the tying shoelaces together. Rob, why are you so obsessed with zombies? Let's start there. I think that's the real question here.
Right from the beginning, I realized that zombies could be anything, man. And when I started doing Zombie Daily, you know, I really turned that into reality in terms of like creating, like zombifying virtually everything on Earth, whether it's like a cartoon, inanimate object, anime character, gaming character, animal, like virus, like whatever. I could turn it into a zombie. And for an artist, that's a dream come true, man. Like you're basically drawing everything on Earth as like the undead or something that's decayed. And there's so much rich, you know, artistic stuff going on there. I've never bored. It's awesome. I'm like zombifying stuff still every single day.
Have you done zombie Smurfs?
I'm sorry?
Zombie Smurfs?
I'm sorry, zombies what?
Smurfs. Zombie Smurfs.
Oh, Smurfs.
Zombie Smurf.
See, that's a thing I never really expected you to say. So I was like, yeah. Did she say Smurfs? So yes, I have.
Oh my God. What about Zombie My Little Pony? God.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yep.
Zombie My Little Pony and Zombie Smurfs? I got to find them.
Yeah, man. Yes, of course I have.
You really have thought of everything. You really like, okay.
Come on, man.
I'm in awe now. That's awesome. I'm like, perfect. She's got him. There's no way he did Smurfs.
Yep. I wasn't trying to get him. I was hoping.
I know, but in my head, I'm like, oh, she's got him. This is great. He's going to do Smurfs now. Nope. He's three steps ahead of us already.
But I do stuff like that all the time. Like all someone has to do is suggest something and boom, it goes on my Zombie Daily Patreon page like every single day. I need content. People suggest stuff. I do it. And usually it takes like a day. Like a day later, you'll see it on there, like illustrated and posted. And so I've been doing the Zombie Daily thing every single day since 2008.
Oh, yeah, wow. That is really cool. No, that. Yeah, committed. That's really
you're
cool.
In it. You're in it yeah. now. And Man. Now, like, so like the rest of us, did you see Night of the Living Dead when you were a kid and get extremely freaked out and maybe even wet your bed that night?
Yeah. All of those things, man.
And why got to go to the bathroom because there might be zombies.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, the first sort of real zombie movie I saw was Matango. And it was a Toho, like a Japanese, like the same guy, the same studio that made Godzilla, basically did this movie called Matango, which in the U.S. it's called Attack of the Mushroom People. And these people sort of are stranded on this island. They eat these mushrooms and they become these like mushroom people. And it's like a zombie movie. It's scary as hell, man.
I've heard of that movie.
Watch it. It's good. It's actually good. Ages well. Yeah.
Some of the overseas, like of the Asian persuasion horror movies are amazing.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
Movies are better than, you know, and there's a lot of American remakes.
Yeah.
They've got the thumb on horror. And I don't know whether that's because the culture has such a rich history of like otherworldly things like ghosts and sea monsters and, you know, it just woven right into that historical mythical culture. So they do come up with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I just watched The Sadness last night and another Asian, you know, sort of, well, again, it wasn't a zombie movie as such, not a traditional zombie movie, but man, it was like ultra like gore violence, super like it's a contagion that comes in and, you know, but great watch. And that was brand new, man. Like this month, I think so.
Talented storytelling coming out of in Japan, just great, great movies. But you didn't see. So that was the first one you saw. When was that? Like, so is this something that you fell into as an adult, that you fell into as a kid? Were you
as a kid?
As a kid. Okay.
As a kid. Yeah. Yeah. Everything. Like I started young. I have not changed since I was like 5 or 6, man. I'm the same dude and love the same things. I still get like surprised and excited about stuff. And my mom would wake me up at night. Like I'd go to bed extra early. We made a deal. I'd go to bed extra early. She'd wake me up at night and I'd watch these like monster movie marathons that would start at like 11 And, you know, yeah, there were crazy movies back then, like the Godzilla, Gargantuas, all that stuff. So that's how it started, man. And, you know, I've been in love with that genre and everything ever since.
I think I love horror too. Rob does not.
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy, but have watched some, like, you know, some of the classics. I, as a cinephile, I'm in for that kind of stuff. So, and then, but some horror,
I like other things too. I like other things too, by the way.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
no, that's it. That's all you do. One thing. No.
I just finally, yeah.
By law, you have to lock in, don't you?
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. You have to have a card and everything. Like even where I teach, like I teach art and, you know, I'm known as the zombie guy. And it's like, I think everybody kind of established me as the zombie guy. So, you know, I do, like, it's, you know, sometimes I have to say like, hey guys, I do other stuff, man. You
know? What other stuff do you do?
You know what, man, I'm going to just come out and say this, the first time actually ever in an interview, I do a vast amount of adult, stuff. So like, what's that?
Like erotica?
Yeah. But it's, okay. It's like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy stuff. But I do that. Like I kind of do everything art wise. Like I do comics, like I write and illustrate my own comics. Basically I'm a mercenary. I'm an artistic mercenary, man. I'll do any art for money. So, if anyone comes to me with an idea of anything to do, I'll do it.
Tell us about your, you know, who else like to draw naked women? Dr. Seuss.
Everyone.
Well,
everyone, man. From Dr. Seuss.
Men, yeah.
Dr. Seuss. I actually went to an exhibit of Dr. Seuss's and a lot of it was naked women. You love drawing naked women.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be surprised how many poivoids there are out there, man.
Oh, I don't think that's perverted. I think
I know.
Drawing naked women and loving the look of a naked woman is great.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man.
We should love each other, right?
It certainly forwards the human race. I mean,
well,
Rob doesn't like naked women either.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. Rob is very innocent, though. He's probably blushing right now because
I said, that's not true.
It's going to be all right, Rob. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, man.
So, where do you publish your erotica? Do you, is that a separate thing or do you have that on your website, on your blogs?
I actually have an OnlyFans page and a DeviantArt page, and it's not actually me. It's a pen name doing it because it's rather caustic in you know I guess themes. But it's like it's tongue in cheek. It's at the same time. It's really it's kind of weird. I you know what? I love it. I kind of have to be in the mood to do it. So I'll take a month or two and like do, you know, 200 drawings and then I won't touch it for the rest of the year type of thing. Mm. It's kind of a weird thing. Like it's another part of my brain that wants to do it. And then once it's done, it's satisfied. And then I can move on with other stuff, but I'm always doing things like at the same time, like I'll have about 11 to like 20 different things on my drawing table at the same time, all together, working right on all together type of thing. So yeah. So
you use words like weird and caustic. Can you give us a description of your.
Okay. So, it's like, okay. So it's like, see, if I give you names, you probably won't know the names though. Okay. So it's like BDSM stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it's weird, but it's like sci-fi fantasy. There's aliens, monsters, all kinds of stuff involved in it. Like I'm not going to do straight up like porn. Like that's to me, I'm not interested in that. It's too much. It's overdone. And who cares? Like if you can draw something, man, like you could draw anything and you don't need a budget for anything. And that's why some of the stuff that we even see like in movies, they can't do because they don't have budgets for them. So like, you know, zombie animals and stuff like that, you know? So I know I'm getting off track from the.
No, stuff. I like it. I love zombie animals. I'm glad you went there.
But yeah, like I've got, like I've, I think I've done every zombie. I think I've done every animal there is in the animal kingdom. I've got about 800 pinup drawings. So I do the girl, like the girly drawings with the zombie thing too. But the other thing that like the other adult stuff is, you know, completely separate, you know?
You know what? Like Rob, this is going to shock you. I think that, I think that BDSM artwork with monsters and aliens is insert expletive amazing.
Yeah.
And well, I'm going to get you to PM me your name so I can subscribe to that OnlyFans because yeah.
Okay. You got it, man. You got it. But don't judge me too harshly once you see it.
Okay. You know, I don't judge people like, and okay, good. I was just thinking, I really hope there's like a shark man with another shark woman
you could submit your ideas on the floor on your way out.
You won't get judgment from me, only ideas. And like,
okay, when cool. I'm down with that, man. I'm down with that. That's great.
See, all this time, Kari, I thought you watched The Boys for, you know, like the superhero moral story, but really, just...
Hey, I haven't watched The Boys yet. Please, are there shark men on?
Oh, you haven't watched The Boys? Oh, okay. All right. Well, that joke worked for Rob, but...
It worked. I got it.
I said I only asked you about it because I wanted to get your take on it because we usually like the same things. I want to watch The Boys because I used to love Supernatural, and the guy from Supernatural is on The Boys, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Jensen Ackles shows up this season and he is fantabulous. And this
Supernatural.
No, but who is that on The Boys?
He is Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. He's right on.
So good.
You didn't watch Supernatural, Rob? You might like it.
No, I watched it. Oh, the other Rob.
Yeah, I do. You know what? I watch very, very few things. I don't have time. I don't play video games like at all. I mainly build Lego sets and building a giant. Like I've got a YouTube channel that I just do basically movie reviews and Lego builds and things like that.
Cool.
And yeah, I'm building a giant castle right now. I just built a giant Lego Mecha Godzilla. Like I'm a geek, man. So, like I'm a geek so hard it hurts, man. It's like so I'm so ingrained in the like, and ever since I was a kid, like it hasn't changed, you know. So
well, you're among friends. Kari and I are hardcore, just depends on what we get to, right? Like, yeah, like Tolkien, I would just salivate, right? And
yeah.
And, I'm more of a Harry Potter nerd.
You're a huge Harry Potter fan. Like,
I'm consumed by Harry Potter. I'm not even just a fan. Like, it's like my way of life.
It is impressive how much you mainline Harry Potter.
Think about Harry Potter then do some other shit.
That's awesome, guys. That's
like
awesome.
Her day starts Harry Potter, and then, you know, if she can work in some writing, that's
awesome. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that. I'm not that bad anymore. But yes, no, I have to work all day. Get up and start writing. Rob, what do you do? Is this your full-time job?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're art. So you have. So oh, we.
What a jerk, right? He gets to be an artist full time.
Hey, man, it's not all smiles and sunshine, man.
Yeah, but.
So tell us about the rainy days. Tell us about your journey from. Did you grow up in? You're from Ontario, small town in Ontario.
Yeah, from the sticks in Sudbury. I've been here all my life. I grew up here. It's great because I just, you know, I was able to wallow in my nerdiness, you know, and enjoy it, and not really be judged or bullied or anything. Like I just kept to myself, and you know, I ended up having a lot of friends and things in high school and college and all that. But I'm a complete loner. I've got my you know, house full of comics, Lego and movies and art, and that's it. Like that, and I love it. Like that's my life and I dig it. I'm always creative, doing things like every day, you know, doing new like creating new art and doing zombie portraits still and everything. So I'm blessed, guys. Like I said, it's not always like, you know, fireworks, hard-ons, and cartwheels, but it, you know, It's I love my life, man. I really, really do. And I feel blessed. And I feel blessed by the people who support me and love my work. The majority of which is are women. Women order the most zombie portraits. They love the adult stuff the most. They're the one ordering the comics and the portraits and everything. So yeah, I owe a huge debt of gratitude to the female contingent on this planet.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because secretly women, a lot of us really do love porn. Not love, but like love erotica. Like,
yeah,
we love,
yeah,
like Anne Rice books. You know, she wrote all those books like As Anne Rampling. We sure. I love those. And you know, and why do you think 50 Shades of Grey was so popular? Now,
yeah,
those books, they're not well written.
No, no.
It's not that they're not well written. It's just I didn't like the way they were written.
Yeah,
Other people loved the way they were written, and the story was really good, and it had a lot of very alluring factors. And so that doesn't surprise me when you say that the majority of your fans, especially for your BDSM, are women. Not a lot of women will admit it, but like, I'm not saying on behalf of women everywhere or even myself. Women like sex. Like, I don't know why that's such a surprise.
Well, and the okay, well, I'm just gonna come out and say it. It's called Bunny Bound, and like that's the comic, or that's the story thing, you know, whatever. And like I said, it's really over the top, but it's so over the top that it's tongue in cheek. Like it's for fun, and like it's not I don't know. It's just a thing that I kind of feel like doing, because it's like weird. It's really weird. And I can really push the envelope with it. I know that's so super cliched, man, but.
I think it's fantastic. Like, do you take commissions? Because you know what? I would love a comic starring me and like a guy who like is a shapeshifter, but he shapeshifts into the Loch Ness Monster. I love the Loch Ness Monster, but it's not in a sexual way, but I would love
You've tipped your hand. You've tipped your hand, man.
We've gone way deep into Kari's side here.
No, he just happens to be, when he shapeshifts, it's not into like a sexy werewolf. It's a Loch Ness Monster.
It's just that, this giant prehistoric Diplodocus kind of a thing. You're like, and that's the guy. That's
right.
I want to get paid, man, for this, because I just you know, I was just a psychologist right now, and I want money.
Just had a breakthrough. Kari just had this huge breakthrough.
Got a breakthrough, man.
And I feel like we've made a lot of good progress today, Kari.
I went to Loch Ness. There's a power there. And I just, now I'm having visions of like, maybe I should have stayed a bit longer. Like, maybe I missed like him emerging from the depths, and slowly like his big, large green head morphs down and he looks like Soldier Boy.
Wow, this is getting very,
I want
very
to believe.
Specific.
I want to believe.
I feel like this is my story. Maybe we should get together, Rob. I'll write the comic and you can illustrate it.
Word, man. I'm down with that.
And I bet you 10-1. Shapeshifter, hot, sexy Loch Ness Monster, who's still gonna keep his like big green member. Then he looks like Jensen Ackles. I think it's I honestly, I can see us at award shows already.
Yeah,
already.
Do it. You know what? That's a winning combination right there, man. I'm down with that. Contact me and we'll do it, man.
Okay, sounds good.
You know, Kari, since we're on the discussion of giant, really cool wet things, I think this is a good this is a really good spot to introduce our new sponsor. What do you think?
Yes, this is perfect. Intro.
All right.
Giant,
so
cool, wet things.
Giant wet things. So this episode of Myth Behaving is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers. Scents ranging from fruits to florals to musks to weird French names, the Diva offers a wide selection for maximum olfactory goodness. Bath bombs are offered with and without prizes inside, and made using water-soluble dyes for no messy residue. The Bath Bomb Diva's newest offering is Dino Dig. scented with coconut, lime verbena, and lemon phthalate-free skin-safe fragrance oils. Each comes with a glow-in-the-dark dinosaur fossil shoe charm. I'm not making any of this up. Check it out and all the creations out at www.bathbombdiva.com. Thanks again to Bath Bomb Diva for sponsoring the show. And once again, Chuck is the greatest.
Wow, I'll take 10 of those things, man. That's great.
I love Bath Bomb Diva. Before, that's actually how we got the sponsorship. I do love baths. I'm a big fan of baths. I just, that's my thing. Like, I'll get in with my TV show and sit in a nice bath and came across Bath Bomb Diva, and they just had some really great stuff. And I was sick at the time and needed to take a lot of baths. And so, yeah, they got me through, like, really great scented stuff that just
that's was awesome.
Really calming. So yeah, like that's yeah, how I mean, we got
there's,
there.
There's nothing like sinking into a hot bath that smells really good.
So that was a huge non sequitur for our sponsorship, but they are great. So now back to the zombie stuff.
I think Rob hung up.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Oh, he's okay.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Like, he's like,
these people are weird. I thought I was the weird one. He's like, I thought I was the weird one, but these two are just, oh, these two are not awesome. Right.
No, I was placing an order with that bath bomb thing, man.
That's awesome.
Sorry. I got distracted with bath bomb.
Hey, Rob, I want to hear about your books, especially the first one. Now I haven't seen this one come up. I did read Max Brooks's stuff, loved it. I was okay with the movies, they're okay, but I'm curious about your zombie handbook.
Yeah, so one day a buddy of mine and I we went to see Batman, the new Batman, the new Christopher Nolan Batman, and we came back and my wife at the time said, hey, some publisher just emailed me and asked if you wanted to write and illustrate the zombie handbook. And I was like, yes, I do want to do that. And so, you know, smash cut to, like, I guess 3-4 months later, I almost quit the project because I was just going insane with the formatting and everything and the demands of the publisher, but stuck it through. And did it and loved it. Got the copies, got that royalty check, got paid and all that stuff, which was great, as you well know. And you know what? I just want to say something right now. When people say in this day and age they don't care about the money or they don't talk about money, they're full of shit. because everything. Exactly. Have you seen the prices of shit out there now? I don't know if you've seen the prices of stuff. But everything costs money and you need money, especially art dudes, man. Art, right? Like, you know, art people, writers, performers, like people like that, man. We need money for our things. And, I do care about the money, and money's a huge important thing to me. And so that was a great project. I really enjoyed doing that ultimately, because it was a trial by fire, right? And, you know, it was literally that whatever doesn't kill you cliche. And then right after that, they asked me to do the zombie wood book, which they kind of changed lanes on me halfway through. Mm-hmm. They sort of, when they asked me to do it, they presented it to me like it was going to be a coffee table book of zombie celebrities. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through, they kind of changed their tune into wanting it to be more of like a gossip Hollywood gossip rag type thing. So and it got weird, man. It got really weird, and they were asking me for really weird stuff, like things that didn't make sense and everything. So I was kind of glad when that was over, but again, another book, man. You don't say no to anything, you know, in the business. If you can do it, like I was doing bicycle cards, actually asked me to do a deck of cards for them. You can look it up. It was one of my most favorite projects ever. And they named it after me too, which was fantastic. But while I was doing that, I had this deadline. And while I was thinking I'm never going to be able to accomplish this, I got an email from the dudes at the Walking Dead show, the showrunner for the Walking Dead show. And they wanted couples zombie portraits for their season 5 after party. And I'm like, you can't say no to that,
right?
No.
So that's, you know, awesome. you're yeah, you're almost dying, man. You're almost dying, and you're not sleeping, and you're just working. But you do it. You just pay your dues, man, and you just do it. And I'm still paying my dues even today, man.
Can you name names? Can you name names on that Walking Dead
couple? I could probably, but I literally can't remember the names. Yeah. Well, you know what? This was a lot of years ago. This was like their season 5.
That was, where are we at? Season 9?
Or yeah.
12, so, 11, right? 12?
I don't know.
It started in 2010, so season maybe 11 or 12. Because I remember it came out on Halloween of 2010 because I watched it.
Yeah, I loved it. I used to love watching it but it was the showrunner. I don't know his name. And it was for people like on the set. Then actually the Talking Dead showrunner asked me to do a Christmas present zombie portrait for that Chris Hardwick guy.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It was either before that or after that. I couldn't remember, but it was like that was, and I'm like, how are these guys get, like, I'm up here in Sudbury and they're in I think Atlanta, you know, I working on one of the biggest shows on television, and they're asking me to do stuff. I was like literally paralyzed. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe this is happening, man.
That's, you awesome know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's really diving into the Walking Dead kind of like who's who. So that's deep. Yeah, that's
yeah. Cool. It was. This has been a crazy career, guy. Like, guys, I'm telling you, like, the weirdest things ever have happened to me during my tenure as this zombie portrait guy, man.
Well, I'm looking at your Twitter, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks to me like Barack Obama follows you.
No.
Twitter. Oh, really?
No, that can't be.
What does it say? Followers that you may know.
Barack Obama.
Oh.
Sure, why not?
Followed by all these people, and then it says Barack Obama.
I barely use Twitter, to be honest. Like, I just dump stuff on there. Just.
Okay, what does that mean, Rob? It says followers you know. Follows G, who follows me. Mitch Markowitz, who follows me. Armand Rosamella, who follows me. Barack Obama.
Oh,
It's the Barack Obama page.
It's somebody who is it? No. The Barack Obama, because Obama definitely has his own Twitter.
Yes, and it's the Barack Obama follows you on Twitter.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
Holy cow! He follows you.
So, he follows.
So the headline reads tomorrow: Barack Obama follows degenerate artist on Twitter.
Yeah, he just ran his reputation.
There you go.
That's it. He will never recover at this point.
No, he's over, man.
It's over.
He's doomed.
No, that's not true. He's probably proud. He's proud to hear. He's proud to hear. He's not the president anymore. He can do whatever he wants. And after Donald Trump, I mean, he can do whatever he wants.
He's doing fine. I assure you, he can do almost anything at this point.
He's going to be all right.
Yeah, book deals and movie. He does movies now. He does really cool movies. If we're getting way off, maybe he's got a zombie movie in the works. Man, that would be cool.
It would be cool. It would be cool. It'd like, be like Barack with a shotgun. Like, right. Do you ever hear that movie, Rob, Hobo with a Shotgun with Rob?
Oh, of course I know Hobo with a Shotgun.
I own that movie, man. Come on. Man.
Velocipaster. Have you seen Velocipaster? Man, that was cool.
Of course.
Okay, now correct me here. Was it Jesus Christ Vampire Killer?
Yeah. No.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
Holy cow. That was pretty wild. Well, I've seen all these movies.
Jesus has magical powers and shit. Well, he would make a great vampire killer. Who wrote that? That's amazing.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a crazy movie. If you get the chance, just to say you've watched it, like, it's totally worth watching. Like, he becomes a professional wrestler. So it really goes off the rails.
I might even own that too. I'm not sure.
I would not be surprised.
Fiction I can get behind.
What's that? Sorry?
That's fiction I can get behind.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Velocipaster, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, Werewolf Cop. Yeah, man. That's all good.
Werewolf
Cop. All those are, it's like, what's the, they've got two movies, Iron Sky. That one got crazy at the end of this. Like, it was already crazy. Nazis on the dark side of the moon coming back to invade. And
I definitely own that one, man. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. And then the second one, like, whoa, we've gone way off the rails. But yeah, totally worth seeing if you, I think both of those are on Netflix or Paramount or Hulu or something.
They might be, on Paramount Plus or Prime or whatever. Yeah. Prime's got weird movies, man. Oh, I checked Prime's out. Got
crazy stuff.
Yeah. Like Bloodsucking Freaks and all these weird 70s flicks, man. Like, they're weird. They're weird.
Have you guys watched any of them?
Oh, come on, man.
Weird flicks? Yeah.
I'm 53, man. I've watched pretty much every weird, sick, depraved, bizarre.
Oh, there's some really sick, weird, depraved, bizarres. Like, I'm talking camp funny, like Santa Jaws and Velociraptor. But there's a lot of movies out there that they have, like, you know, 10 ranked worst movies, like the Serbian film, like, you know,
Dumbo. Yeah, I've seen that.
Have you, like, I can't even watch that. The Human Caterpillar.
Centipede. Human Caterpillar, man. That's awesome. Caterpillar,
do I guess? That's the next one. That's the next one.
Oh, my God.
Human Centipede.
He's the human ladybug, man. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, that one. I feel like the Human Caterpillar would be a much better movie. Like, it would.
Oh, yeah. It turns into a butterfly at the end. Yeah. Much better than. Yeah. Didn't they make. So I didn't watch him. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's always a happy ending. Brody watches. He watched The Human Centipede. I saw it on his Netflix history. I was like, what is
that? That's funny. So, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong here, but they did two or three more of those?
Human Centipede? Yeah, there's three.
Yeah.
Three. Yes.
And I will go on record and say I have not watched that one. I just know what it's about and only tangentially through other media. Like Kevin Smith did a weird take on it called Walrus or something.
Tusk,
thank you. And I have not seen that.
Yeah. I own that piece of garbage.
You own that one? Yeah. Kevin Smith went off the rails at some point too. And I still follow him and I still like him, but there's some of these movies I'm like, I don't know that they're for me, buddy. So
yeah, I couldn't even get past the opening credits of Yoga Hosers, man. I was like, no, you've ruined it. You've ruined it, man. It's over.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that. Yeah, it's some tangential stuff by Smith or that's linked to him. I'm like, oh, I want to watch it, but no.
Yeah.
Like some of Yoga Hosers. That's with his daughter. I know that's with Harley.
The film, he's really like Kevin Smith, but I don't think anything like Clerks was funny. Jason Mewes, I think, is funny. I think I found him funny.
I think his best movie was Red State.
Oh. I didn't watch that one.
That one is that one's interesting.
Really good. It's very unlike a Kevin Smith movie. There's no BS, like inside jokes and garbage like that. It's actually really intense and it's a real movie. You know, it's a real movie. Yeah, it's good. Okay. Really good.
Yeah, it's like about Red State type people. It is intense. That's a good way of putting it. We can leave it at that.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's definitely not your Clerks, your Dogma, your Chasing Amy. It is
nothing like that. No.
Totally different. So he took totally a swing different and he sounds like he did. He got to like, sounds like he didn't do that.
It's a really solid film. Like, I don't want to spoil it because like that's what makes it worthwhile though. Getting to the end of that film is what makes the whole thing worthwhile. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay, that's awesome. That's a great comment. And Red State is one of those very unknown Smith movies unless you follow Kevin Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of his anymore. I used to be like, I own all his movies. I own everything except for that Yoga Hosers movie, I think. Mm-hmm. Chasing Amy, everything, man. And they're not really great when you watch them again. But you know, that's me though, man. Like I totally get there's like Kevin Smith heads out there that are, you know, they'll never, you know, abandon his ship, man. And it's all good. But for me, it's like, meh, I don't know. I can take it or leave it at this point.
Yeah. What's a movie that you can watch on repeat?
Myself? That I could watch like forever? You know what? Probably Heat.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Watched it again last night, man. Or not
just made
last
my
night,
mouth water, dude.
Yeah, the night before I watched it again. And I mean, JFK, I know that might sound weird, but JFK is probably one of the most masterfully made films I've ever seen in my life. And you could gorge off that film forever in so many different ways. Even in the editing alone, like, and I know that's super film geek talk, but honestly, I marvel at the way that film is put together. It's utterly astonishing.
What about you, Rob? What's your movie that you could watch on repeat?
Oh, that's hard for me. Cause
like not one that is your favorite movie, not necessarily has to be your favorite movie, but like your movie that you would watch every time you flip to the channel, you see it on, you watch it.
All right, you're gonna laugh. And we may have brought this up before, but you're gonna laugh because if it's the movie that I'm like, yep, I'm in. It's gonna be Pride and Prejudice. The yeah, that one gets me every time.
Wow,
I don't know. I know it just like I just rewatched The Godfather. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just delicious, and I can there's so much there, and it's so beautifully done. And you have Francis Ford Coppola like at his rawest, just, I'll go off about that, but like a movie that Pride and Prejudice, that, I can't remember the actress's name right now. It was was it 2005? Yeah. 2005. And, Keira Knightley. Matthew
That version. That's okay.
The not the BBC, okay. not the 8-hour version. Name.
You were obsessed with Keira Knightley.
I am. That's true. Yep.
You were like, Keira Knightley is your Tom Hardy.
That's right.
Tom Hardy, that film, Loke, that he did.
Yeah.
Like that was utterly astonishing. And I that's another one I watch, often because, it's just an exercise in like filmmaking inside a car, man, with your camera on one person delivering dialogue, and it's utterly astonishing to watch too. And he's so gravitating in that film too. I love that. Yeah, he's great. I love him anyway, except in Venom. But that movie he did, Locke, was fantastic.
I didn't even think I watched Locke. He didn't take his shirt off, so I didn't care.
You gotta watch that.
Don't judge me. Hey, don't judge me. I'm the one buying your comics, okay? I feel so
you gotta basic. Check it out, though, man. You gotta check it out. You'll love it.
I feel so basic compared to you guys, because like while I have my favorite movies that like I love and have movie nights with, I think my movie that I watch like whenever it's on over and over, just love it, never get sick of it, is Dazed and Confused.
Wow. Oh.
All right.
That's like the best. And just the whole vibe of Dazed and Confused was like my 20s, because that's all we did was like drove around, listen to music, smoke pot.
Yeah.
And Matthew McConaughey would show up and hit on everybody.
Right? Yeah, totally. Like it was, I grew up in a small town in Ontario, actually, Rob, not a few hours from Sudbury. I haven't always lived in British Columbia. I grew up in a small town called Cobourg, which is on Lake Ontario.
Yeah, I totally know where that is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up outside of that small town. And that was just every weekend in high school. And then there'd be a bush party somewhere. People get drunk.
Sure.
People would fight. And then everybody would go home and get in trouble. And then you'd do it again next week. You'd have to drive to Toronto to get concert tickets just like they did.
Yeah.
You would do that. You would go out on a Friday night and you'd cruise around and you'd drink, find somewhere in the bush to drink. And then you would talk about, make a plan to go to this thing. And then you'd have to drive a couple hours to go get tickets.
Yeah, sure.
And I lived that life way longer than most people.
Then you should have, yeah.
Yeah. Way, way longer. Like well into my 20s when I moved out here. But yes, that was definitely one of mine.
I worked in a porn store for 9 years.
What?
Yeah.
That's dedication. Yeah. Are you serious? Where? Yeah. In Sudbury.
Yeah, in Sudbury. It was Adult Movie Warehouse.
Did they have good health care? Like,
no, but you know what? And I'll tell you why I'll tell you why I worked there for so long. I literally started my business there.
Oh, that's awesome. Cause
yeah, that was the only way I could I could get off my feet by actually working while I was doing zombie portraits while I was working there.
Nice.
So I was kind of getting two paychecks. Right. And
yeah.
You know, it's not like people were in there constantly. So I'd work 12 hour shifts in a row, man. And like do tons of zombie portraits that's how I started. That's how I was able to, wriggle out of the bonds of workaday life, man, that was the platform. And thank God for that place. I know it sounds crazy, 9 years,
but it doesn't at all. It sounds brilliant. You went and you worked a job where you could do something else. Like, because yeah. I mean, it's not like people come in and ask for recommendations.
Right. They're not really going to bug
you
much, right?
What do you recommend in a...
Like, plus you could treat them like shit and they don't, what are they going to do?
It's like, what are they, you're going to complain?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it like, it was pornographic videos?
Yeah. Yeah.
All the movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Just movies. Yeah. Like, but it was a warehouse. It was huge, man. Like I'd get up and I'd walk around the store like 30, 40 times just to get exercise. Like just because, you know, you're sitting there, you can't do anything for 12 hours, man. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
You got to get up and do things, you know? And but
was it retail?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was just like a shop on the street, only it was a warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah. A brick and mortar store. It was a pretty big store and it had like, you know, a couple thousand, movies in it and, some junk and toys and garbage like that, but it was mostly movies and I would just sat there, man, and drew and people would come, you know, other people that worked there would like, you know, watch movies, like, you know, mainstream movies and read books and shit like that. But I ended up drawing there. And even before I started doing the zombie portrait thing, you know, full time proper, I was drawing. Like I was drawing just tons of stuff there, doing jobs and things. So it was great. It was great for me, you know.
Oh, well, that's like how Tarantino started, right? Like Tarantino was he was a cinephile and worked in a movie store and did his thing.
Got to take advantage of any situation that you're in, like regardless of how shitty it might be, or like, you know, if I said that to someone, you know, oh, I worked at a porno store, they go, oh, that man, you wasted your life there, blah blah blah. But no, you know, I like every job I kind of had, I've tried to like ply my own, you know, thing. So.
Well, how could they say
I love the story?
You did exactly what you wanted with your life, and that is not a wasted life.
Yeah, kind of. you know, like ever since I was a kid, I always want, like I said, I want to grow up and draw monsters. And honest to God, like I'm doing that, man. And I think I've always known I've wanted to do it, but then you know, you get into this phase in your life where you're like, you know, people are like, you'll never be able to do that. That's insane. You're not thinking, man. Like, think. You can't do that. No one does that.
Right.
You know, and you find a way, like you take the Jeff Goldblum you know, nature finds a way thing, man, and you do it, you know.
And how did you find your way really quick for anybody who's listening who has been told those things?
I know this is gonna sound so cliched, man, and like it's the common trope of every person that does weird things, but like don't stop, man. Like I've been through honest to God hell, man. Like things that, you know, I'm like, I gotta shut this down. I can't do this anymore. There's no way, like it's not gonna work. And I've been down so many times, and some of those times are even recent times, you know. Mm-hmm. But you just do it. You find a way to do it, and you become more aware, and you become a lot more cunning in your strategies when you're like incredibly desperate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're incredibly desperate, it breeds that imagination. You know, like desperation is the mother of all invention, right? So. You know, that's where the bunny bounce stuff comes from. That's like the side thing. You know, and I'm thinking, man, you know, people like that shit, right? So do it. And, and, you know, you can do it. So you do it and try to make money there too. And every opportunity I've ever gotten, whether I've been like terrified or not, and I have been really honestly terrified at some of the prospects that have come my way in terms of like people ask me to do things, I just say yes and find a way to do it. And I know that sounds like, you know, everyone's heard that before, man. It's the premise of every movie, you know.
Yeah.
But seriously, like that's kind of what I've been doing. That's what I've done.
But I mean, there's got to be some truth to it because, it, like you said, it's a cliche. Everybody sure. says it. Just keep doing it. Yeah. Just keep doing. Basically, don't give up.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that's shitty advice. It's like, really, Rob? And you know no. what, man? When people give me that advice, I'm like, fuck up. Like, really, man? No, I need money, not the end of a Disney movie, man. Right. Like, you know? So
I think it's fair to say don't give up.
It is. It's absolutely valid. Like, I mean, because when you do, it's over.
Well, and you know what else doesn't give up? Zombies.
What?
Zombies. Yeah. Full circle, man. That was great.
Brilliant.
But you know what? I have to give up for the night.
Yeah, we're there. We're there once again, Kari.
Unfortunately, we do have to give up.
It's all good, guys.
But we were so honored and happy that you were able to come on today. What a joy. What a pleasure. And what an adventure. Like, what? I think we got some stuff out of each other that we didn't even expect, apparently.
I think we have.
It was good group. Good group here tonight, group. Guys. You good guys group. Are...
Yeah, yeah. And I think that we should talk about that zombie. I think that shapeshift Loch Ness monster would actually be a hit. When it comes
look
to
for it. You know look what? For I'm, it on Netflix.
I'm not even Netflix will do anything, man. Florida yeah. true. The documentary, man. Like, come on. Yep. Like that Carrie, that is really I could see that making money, man. I could see
me
that
too.
Happening.
Me too.
And, like you've heard of all that prehistoric porn and all that stuff or the erotic dinosaur
yeah.
porn. You've
yeah.
heard of that.
Yeah.
But this is
shapeshifter, so it's guilt free.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's guilt free because it's like bestiality, yeah, no. But if he shapeshifts into a man,
there you go.
It's all good. It's all good. It's fine.
You don't even have a choice at that point. You don't even have a choice. But at that point, it's like about surviving, having the species survive.
Because indeed,
it's like your duty. Yeah,
yeah.
You have a moral obligation.
The sequel. That's the sequel.
You guys. Oh my gosh.
The first one, shapeshifter romance. The second one, shapeshifter baby.
Write that down.
Rob, give us your socials, man.
Okay, so I'm on YouTube. I've got a podcast called Revenge of the Nerd Podcast. I am on Instagram under what is it? That's not true. I post to Instagram like maybe twice a week. It's just Rob Zombie Portraits. On Insta, and I've got I'm on Twitter, of course, too, yep. as you indicated earlier. It's just at Zombie Portraits. Sorry for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Patreon page as well that is updated every single day. I'm not sure, it doesn't really have a handle as such. I think you would just basically type in my name into the Patreon platform and you'll find me. I post every day on that. And then I make posts on Facebook, and everywhere else about those posts mm-hmm. to let people know that it's there. And zombieportraits.com, man, if you want to order a zombie portrait. So I have not changed the zombie portrait price since 2006.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but it's going to happen sooner or later. So if you want a zombie portrait, get one as soon as you can, because, yeah, that price is going to have to go up. It's just insane. Like, can't stay that way forever.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's a lot. That's a good way to find you somewhere at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a t-shirt, like I'm on TeePublic. Like I've got a t-shirt shop. I've got a print shop that's got tons of prints, but Yeah, like you'd have to find the, you know, I have to give you the links for those. It's just the print shop is robsacetoprints.com. I don't know. If you want to go to there, there's tons of stuff there. Tons. All my comics are there too. The Bunny Bound and the Cape Fear comics are there as well. Awesome. So if you want to buy a copy, it's all there. I've got, you know, zombie art, portrait art, straight up portrait art, straight up nature and landscape art, everything, man. I put everything there. So anyway, if you want to check that out, if your fans want to check that out, I'd be more than happy and honored to have them check that out too.
And for anybody who's still running around looking for a pen so they could write all that down, don't worry. We're going to share all the links when we
all up. Yeah.
Up on the page.
Guys, it's been an honor, man. Really. And I had a great time chatting with you both.
Rob, you've been awesome. And let us know when you've got something new to share and we'll get you back on the show and we'll go, we'll do another group session. Obviously sure we thing. Need it. So obviously sure all of us need to work. So
yeah. Yeah.
And one last shout out and thank you to our sponsors, Bath Bomb Diva. Shelly is the best.
She is the absolute best. And I can't say enough good things. Like, this is a guy who likes Pride and Prejudice. So, you know, Bath Bomb Diva is the one.
I know. I'm waiting for their Loch Ness Monster Diva Bath Bomb.
That I'll be showering with that. Maybe next. Yep.
and we'll see you guys in September. Until then, keep reading.